Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, being the millennial that I am, growing up watching what I would describe as the peak of SportsCenter, one of my all-time favorite segments is the Not Top 10. And the Tennessee Titans with the honors this week, the number one play in the Not Top 10 of Treylon Burks' lateral, air quotes, that he attempted in the game. It's good stuff.
But like you said, he actually deserves credit for somehow getting that ball to the guy whose name eludes me because he's been on the team for 4 seconds.
Jonathan Ward.
Yeah, thank you.
But, John Ward, legendary name in this state.
I mean, Burks was being hit by two guys with a third coming at him. Like, what did Todd, like, what was, as Todd Downing, like, drew that play up and stuff, what did he think? It's amazing.
There's no one going to be there across the middle, Treylon. Don't worry.
Yeah, just, you'll have all day.
You got all day.
Throw
just
it across the field,
pitch
buddy.
And catch it, buddy.
Just Moore throw just, it over like, there. Threw it as high as he could up in the air.
I mean, it's a great throw.
It's amazing that was, yeah.
Completed.
Caught by someone other than a Jaguar. Yeah.
Way to go, Treylon.
Nice job. Stuff.
Speaking of Todd Downing, who, brilliant design on that play, as we know, no longer with the Tennessee Titans, was fired as offensive coordinator earlier this week by Mike Vrabel, and the search is underway for a new offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. Now, as we pointed out, got to hire a general manager. It's a lot that has to happen as the Titans look into this offseason. But, Joe, specifically with offensive coordinator, whether it's internal, external candidate, whatever it ends up being, we're going to have a lot of time to talk about who's going to be the next Titans offensive coordinator. What should they be looking for? What are the qualities of the offensive coordinator that you think the Titans should be looking for? And whether that's Tim Kelly or someone else, how much time, if you're the Titans and Mike Vrabel, should you be spending looking outside the organization and weighing kind of the different options that you could have at offensive coordinator? And maybe even some options, Joe, that aren't really in the family, so to speak, of the offense that they run. What do you make of what the Titans should be looking at when it relates to the offensive coordinator?
Before I answer that,
okay,
I do want a quick sub question because Michelle just sent us the thing on Rand Carthen.
Yep.
Yeah, reportedly Rand Carthen, 49ers director player personnel, Ian Cunningham, the Bears, both interviewing today. The two internal candidates interviewed yesterday. I have a question. You know, we can get to this later in the show. If you're a Titans fan, which of these hiring processes is more important to you? Which is a bigger deal to you?
General manager,
GM,
OC?
The GM or the OC? Like, what question. Are you more into? What matters more? If you could pick, how about this? If you could pick one of them to be a home run. I think that's kind of an easy one, right? I mean, if you can pick the GM to be a home run, then for long term you're going to be. But still, that's the thing. If you get a home run with an OC, you might lose them in a year or two, right?
That is true.
So that's a bad question. But still, weigh in on that. As far as the
615-737-1025.
Yes, thank you. Also, I appreciate Megan and some of you others on the text line who are already saying you would root for AJ to win a ring. Good for you.
Okay, all right.
Good for you.
Okay.
Someone said, would he root for the Titans? And I said, if the Titans won the Super Bowl this year or whatever down the line, I promise you that AJ Brown will be very happy for a whole bunch of those people. Absolutely. He talks to them. He's friends with people here. Yes, he would be happy for them. He might, you know. Like, if they lose, he might have a ha-ha-ha tweet or whatever, but just whatever. So the OC.
If he wins, he may have a tweet to the Titans, too. We'll see.
That's true. If they win the Super Bowl and he immediately, like, tweets at T-Rack or something, then we know. That have some, T-Rack.
Have some, buddy. What do you think of this?
You're not wearing this ring, T-Rack. The OC is really interesting. I think that, obviously, if they go with Tim Kelly, that's by far the least exciting outcome. It could be the best. Could be the absolute way that Mike Vrabel should go. But that's the least exciting outcome, right?
I would agree.
I'm interested in the Mike LaFleur thing.
Oh, boy.
Because Mike LaFleur – well, first of all, there are plenty of siblings. Like, because you hate Matt LaFleur, what does that have to do with Mike LaFleur? Well, they had bunk beds in the 90s.
So he's been around Matt too much. Yeah,
come on. Well, Matt LaFleur has been around all kinds of people. Who've had tons of success in the NFL.
I'm just in a bad spot right now.
If you change his name to Mike LaViolette,
I'd feel a lot better about it.
You'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
But Mike LaFleur, in all seriousness, People got all over me for using the word scapegoat this week. So I'll try to – when I tweeted about that with Downey, and people were like, oh, he had no blame. I said, I'm not saying he had no blame. I'm saying he got put all the blame on him, which to me is scapegoating.
Okay.
I agree.
Well, but then someone's like, well, read the definition. It means someone who, you know,
read the definition of bye week. It didn't matter to you. Why does it matter now?
Well, it does matter to me. Yeah, but the new dictionary crap doesn't mean anything.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Now I'm all. Anyway, Mike LaFleur. Yeah. Mike LaFleur. I mean, it would be a pretty seamless transition. He got blamed. And look, I have no idea with the Jets, how much blame he should have. I do know when I watched him that Zach Wilson basically is a dude who, if he can run around and throw it 70 yards downfield, he might make an amazing play. And other than that, he's bad.
He sucks.
And Mike White is not a starting quarterback. Mike White's like Joshua Dobbs, like, hey, well, that's impressive. Good job.
Right.
But eventually you're like, okay, now I see why he's a backup quarterback in the NFL.
Correct.
So Mike LaFleur, they kind of do the whole, but that's what happens. You're still going to blame the OC. And the fans blame the OC. And so they said, okay, you can look around. And so he's out there. I wonder if he would be a serious consideration. I don't always think that Vrabel had loved the year with Matt LaFleur.
Agreed.
Maybe as much as Vrabel talks about people looking for jobs, I wonder sometimes if he was talking about Matt LaFleur. But Matt LaFleur is not Mike LaFleur.
Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith was interviewing for a job the week before the playoff game against Baltimore.
That
was
a fair point. And their offense sucked in that game, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. I always think about him being mad at LaFleur. Maybe he was more mad at Art. I don't know.
Maybe both. It's back-to-back years.
Then Art took Dean Pease.
That is true. It's an intriguing option because, like you said, it does feel like, in all seriousness, Mike LaFleur with the Jets was the scapegoat. And, you know, they can't get rid of Zach Wilson right now because of his contract. And you look at the other quarterbacks. You had Flacco in there for a little while, Mike White in there. Like, what are you supposed to do with that offense? Now, having said that, you know, I watched – they played the Packers this year, and I watched that game. Pretty nice play calls in that game. I mean, they had a nice offensive scheme in that game. It's a – similar offense, so maybe that's something you take a look at. I mean, we've talked about Bill O'Brien. Could that be something you take a look at? I'm really interested to see. I think the Titans should go outside of the organization. If I'm a Titans fan, I would be disappointed if Tim Kelly ends up being the offensive coordinator. And like you said, he could be the best hire. I have no idea. I would just like to see them go outside the organization and bring somebody else in.
Yeah. Well, it's at least seriously entertaining, and it's not like we're gonna have that knowledge either. They're going to interview people, that's for sure.
You could come back and tell me, well, Tim Kelly was outside of the organization until last year. So okay,
yeah, sure. Yeah. And the thing with Tim Kelly is, and I know for sure for some people, every play that worked this year must have been called designed by him, and all the bad plays were Todd Downing, right?
Yeah.
But he was involved in this. So Todd Downing gets blamed for everything. And there was a lot that went into that. Personnel, most important of all. But Tim Kelly was here. And Tim Kelly was the passing game coordinator, whatever that means. And I've been told, don't look too much into that title. But at the same time, it says to me that there was design of the passing game. I know he was also working with tight ends, things like that. I have no idea. I know that he did coordinate an offense that did some very good things with Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Watched Deshaun Watson play this year. Yeah, and I understand there's a lot in that whole situation. Long time away from football and all that stuff, but boy, he didn't look good at all. Looked good. Was it Kelly? Yeah. Is Kelly the reason why? Yeah, you're saying
Davis
yes?
Mills. He looked good towards the end of that with Kelly.
That is true. So, I mean, there is some background for Tim Kelly potentially being an effective OC. Then there's also the question of, is there any consideration of bigger picture changes, like scheme change, different offense, someone that you think is really impressive but doesn't run this basic, new age Shanahan offense?
Oh, it's a great question. We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Take your thoughts. What should the Titans be looking for as they try to evaluate and determine who their next offensive coordinator will be? 615-737-1025. We'll have more on that next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Thank you, Robbie. Yes, FanDuel Sportsbook. It's a heck of a week, folks, because, of course, it is wild card week. And FanDuel Sportsbook, which, of course, is my official sportsbook, has some great opportunities for you. The easiest way to get in these playoffs is with FanDuel. With new customers, you can join today. Get $150 in free bets guaranteed if you place your first $5 bet. All you got to do is sign up promo code JOE102. If you get on FanDuel, you've got your traditionals. You can bet on a game with the money line, bet on a game with a point spread. You can bet on a player prop. You can also combine them for a bigger payout with the same game parlay. This weekend, well, we've been talking Chargers-Jags. I like the Chargers. I like the over. I think this is going to be a fun game. Back and forth with the offenses making big plays. And I like Herbert over on the passing yards. That would be my pick for that one. This is all on an app that's safe, secure, easy to use. Don't miss out. Place a $5 bet. Get $150 in free bets to win or lose with promo code JOE102. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner in the NFL. And you have to be 21 or older in present Tennessee. First online and limited wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is now available for free bets. Expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Looking ahead to the Titans offensive coordinator process, what should the Titans be looking for as it relates to their next offensive coordinator? And should the Titans consider the idea of maybe changing the way they do things offensively and maybe changing the scheme that they run offensively? And, Joe, you brought that up in the last segment before we went to break there. What do you make of that idea? Because that's been a popular idea from some of the Titans fans that we've heard from on our phone and text lines, that the idea of, all right, they need to change the way they do things. They need to change the philosophy that they have. They need to change the offensive scheme. What do you make of all that and how much of a role that could play when deciding who their next offensive coordinator could be?
Well, like somebody on the text line just said, brought up Kingsbury, right? Cliff Kingsbury, which I guess I'd be surprised on both fronts if there'd be real interest there. But just him as an example, I mean, what he did there is a lot different than what they do here. What he did in college, too. I mean, I think he's a pretty good offensive mind. Someone like that, would you entertain? Like, basically, like, this is a question that only really Vrabel, I guess, can answer, but, and he's not answering. We keep calling him, and he's not picking up for his weekly interview with us. But
he said probably not.
Probably not.
So he's stuck to it.
Yeah. No, have we asked, though?
I don't think
probably
so.
Should. Yeah, we probably should ask every once in a while. Is he open to – is he like, no, we're running this system. This is the system. I need an OC who runs this system. So you still have a big pool of candidates with that, you know, as we've talked about. I mean, Mike LaFleur is one of them, and there's plenty of teams that run that system. Or is he like, hey, talk to me. Let's talk about something. Because the thing is, it, even within this system, like Derrick Henry is – you go around these other teams. Like, these other teams run the ball for sure out of this system. I mean, if you want to go back, like, history lesson real quick, you go back to Mike Shanahan. I mean, Mike Shanahan's kind of like the godfather of zone running schemes, you know? So So it's like, it's kind of like, and then you go like Bill Walsh, the West Coast offense, and you kind of mash them together. And then, you know, again, you, there's always constantly innovation.
Mike Mularkey with Exotic Smash Mouth.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, there's you look at some of these other, you know, you look at the Bills and the Chiefs, for example. I mean, they are much more really like air raid kind of based, you know, offenses. But even in the West Coast offenses, like, they, like the Rams, Niners, they run the ball. I mean, they run the football. But they don't, it's not like Derrick Henry type of running the football. You know, and some of that is just like who he is. But is it possible that Vrabel looks at it and like thinks reset and thinks, you know, like a different kind of every down running back makes more sense in whatever this new scheme is? Or even within this scheme, but just to have more of the, you know, more modern first down, second down, also running choice routes and catching the ball more frequently and things like that. I mean, I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Like, it's a good question. I think this, like, if you're bringing back Tannehill and Henry, I don't really see a scenario where you totally change the scheme, right? Like, you're going to run the same offense. Like, you brought this up, and I agree. Like, if Vrabel thought that there was a different way to have an offensive scheme that was more pass heavy, all this, whatever you want to throw out there with Tannehill and Henry over the past few years, don't you think he would have done it? I mean, they threw the ball a pretty good amount when they had A.J. Brown and an offensive line and Corey Davis. Now, they ran the ball a lot, too. I mean, Derrick Henry, I mean, he had 350 carries that year and ran for 2,000 yards.
But they had a balanced
offense. They had a balanced attack. Like, I think Vrabel wants to have a balanced attack. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, if you don't bring those guys back, do you all of a sudden maybe then shift philosophy? Like Sean on the text line says, the current scheme would be fine if the players didn't generally suck. This from Sean on the text line.
Well, I'm not sitting here saying they got to change. I'm just wondering if Vrabel would be open to that.
Sure.
Like, I'm wondering how open he would be, or if he's just like, okay, in this offense, who are the candidates? I mean, you limit yourself. I think it's worth having an open mind, but I'm with you. Like, I feel like we know that Tannehill and Henry work in this scheme when there's blocking.
Yeah.
When there's
pass catchers.
You know, A.J. Brown,
yeah,
for example. You're not going to have that anymore, but when there are pass catches, when there's blocking, this scheme works pretty well for them. 2 years ago. I mean, it was 2 years ago. 30.7 points a game in this offense.
Well, and you can have the same scheme, quote unquote, and call plays differently, right? I mean, look, the Packers have the same scheme. The Niners have the same scheme.
And their play calling is elite.
Yes. Now, let's be clear.
And so
the
Matt
Niners
LaFleur.
Play calling is elite.
Oh, yeah.
Not the Packers.
I understand.
The Niners play calling is elite. But what I'm saying
make
is
sure we get as many
they're
shots
running
at Matt
the
LaFleur
same.
As
yeah, I mean, I'll keep going. They're running the same offense. Maybe it's not exactly the same, but it's offense.
Yeah, it's the same basis.
It's same basis. And they're calling things differently based on their personnel. So, like, if you're the Titans, do you look around and say, all right, we ran the ball so much, like, this is the percentage. We ran the ball such and such percentage on first and 10. Would really like to change that up a little bit next year. Be a little less predictable. Okay. Well, that's, you're running the same scheme there. You're just operating it differently, which I think that is important as they move forward.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think you can't tell me, because I do think people look at Ray like, oh, he's like a big football dude. He has to run the ball and, you know. Like, I think Vrabel probably, just like everybody else, was sitting there, you know, first and 10, Derrick Henry, seven guys tackle him, second and 9, Derrick Henry, six guys tackle him, third and 8, incomplete punt. I just described some possessions this year for the Titans, probably too many of them. But, look, he has also been very clear. He has believed in giving the ball to his best player. And he believes what that does to defenses in the fourth quarter. And before this year, it was a pretty effective formula.
Yeah. Liam on the text line says, I'm going to be dissatisfied and disappointed no matter who they hire, but mostly because I'm in a bad mood. There's no really way to know if the hires are good or bad until next season anyway. So let's just stay salty. This is from Liam on the text line.
I like it,
I respect
Keep that energy.
I respect it. Mark from Paris says, okay, guys, I'll come off the couch and take the Titans OC job. Can't do worse than Downing. And Nate on the text line says, to me, the GM and offensive coordinator searches are pretty tough to choose which one's more important. Obviously, you'd like the GM to be able to draft elite players, but if the offensive coordinator can develop good to great players, then that could be more important. This is from Nate on the text line.
Yeah, that was a bad question, but I mean, I don't think it's close. If you have a great OC, you're losing him anyway.
Yeah.
Quickly. Like, especially OC. Like, Shane Bowen to me is a guy who I'll be interested to see if he gets any interviews for a head coaching job, but everybody.
Bless you.
Bless you, Rode.
Excuse me. My delicate flower sneezing over here. We know what this league is. If you have a good OC, then it's so skewed on the side of offensive coaches with success are getting head coaching jobs.
Yeah.
So if you had, like, I mean, Arthur Smith did a great job. It was 2 years, and he had one great year, and he had 1 year that was actually bad, and then we know what happened. They made an incredible run, but it wasn't like that big of a sample size, and he's the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, like, off that. So you'll lose whoever you have who does well.
Maybe you could hire him back after next year. Who knows?
I mean, that is possible.
It is possible. Got a texture that says, the fact that Derrick Henry was able to manufacture 1,500-plus yards with that offensive line is truly amazing. It's from a texter on the text line.
No, it is. I agree, man. No, if I'm doing this, honestly, the thing is, you can't interview everyone in the world. I think I probably am limiting myself to this scheme if I'm Vrabel, because the scheme works. And these players, again, that's if I'm going with Tannehill and Henry. I think I'm doing that.
Although we made some cases yesterday, both to do that, maybe not to do that. And you threw out a scenario that I don't think too many people have thought about that we kind of dismissed yesterday. And after doing some thinking, maybe you've rethought things a little bit. We'll get into that coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, coming up at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to that right now. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. So we've discussed several different scenarios for the Titans this offseason. We'll see what happens with the offensive coordinator search. But tied into that is, who's going to be on your team? Who's going to be at quarterback, who's going to be at running back? And we've talked about yesterday, I said to me, like, if you're bringing one of them back, either Tannehill or Henry, you're bringing both back. Like, I don't understand, unless you're going for an upgraded quarterback, I don't understand the idea of, well, let's go get, like, Derek Carr and leave Henry there, or let's go get Bryce Young in the draft and leave Henry there. I think it's either a rebuild or it's not, and you're bringing him back. But we did kind of dismiss out of hand yesterday the idea of Tannehill being back without Derrick Henry. And maybe you've rethought that scenario at least a little bit heading into today.
Well, I mean, it's kind of tied to what we're talking about. I know, like I had just said, I would probably keep it to this offense. Do we know for sure, like, that Vrabel is?
No.
And if he isn't, is it not possible? I mean, I guess I have just dismissed it too quickly, and I thought about it. I was like, why is it totally out of left field or on a moon of Jupiter? The moon of Saturn? Saturn has more moons, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
They all have moons, I think.
Yeah. It's the rings of Saturn. This is really good. Let me just say what I was going to say. Why is it crazy to think about Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, but a different running back situation? I mean, I don't think it'll happen. I think that they're both. It's probably both or neither. But is it not possible that you think, okay, Tannehill can do this, but this offense needs to be modernized, and it's time to, you know, it's time to go again to what most NFL teams have, which is running backs who, and Derrick Henry has gotten better catching the ball for sure. His hands have gotten better. The screen game's always been there. That's not the same thing. But his hands have gotten better where he can go out there and take a little swing pass or you know, just an outlet, a check down. He's not ever going to be a dynamic, quick starting route runner that you need to have choice routes and all that. All of which say that you could look at this offense and say it's time to modernize the offense. And it could be still with Tannehill, but not with Henry.
I mean, you could say that. My follow-up question would be, all right, well, who's catching the ball?
Yeah. Dontrell Hilliard, primary back?
Well, who's catching the ball? Wide receiver.
Oh, well, there's that, too. Who's blocking? Yeah. Who's blocking? Who's catching the ball?
Well, beyond that.
These questions are always.
Well, like, to me, if you're going to modernize this offense with – modernize, quote-unquote, this offense with Tannehill, you need elite receivers. Not just one. You need multiple elite receivers.
You still need a – and that's, you still also need a running game.
You do.
That's the thing. So,
you do.
You know. It's like I had the argument. Now, this is basically me kind of going back a little bit on the argument I had yesterday. Again, I'm keeping Henry. I'm happy paying him $10 million next year. And I feel like if the offensive line's fixed, he might get you 1,700 yards. But it is sort of the other side of the argument of, well, you can do more with that money, potentially. You could find a back, young back. Still run the ball if we saw what Deontay Foreman did last year, and that's part of the argument too. Deontay Foreman did awfully well in the same offense with a decent offensive line. It was a pretty good run blocking offensive line last year, even without Lawan.
Well, I think that I would be more open to this conversation had they paid AJ Brown. Like, let's say AJ Brown was making $22-23 million a year. Like, at some point you'd look around and you'd say, all right, well, would you be better served? You still have to pay Jeffrey Simmons. Would you be better served cutting Derrick Henry, finding a much cheaper running back, and then trying to address different areas of your offense that way if you had A.J. Brown on the roster? Like, if you don't have a wide receiver that you're paying a ton of money to on the roster, like Derrick Henry's your best player offensively. Like, you got to pay somebody on offense. So if it's not going to be a receiver, then – to me, it's Derrick Henry.
That's true. I mean, it would definitely look different if they still had AJ, as they should, but they don't.
They don't. I mean, that could change this. As Jared brought up yesterday, look, we didn't see. I don't know about you. At this time last year, heading into the offseason, I did not see Tyreek Hill being traded. I hoped I didn't see Davante Adams being traded, but I kind of did. And A.J. Brown, I certainly didn't see being traded last year by the Titans. So I have no idea on the wide receiver pool what's gonna crop up this year as the offseason goes along that we're just not even thinking about right now. I'm sure something will. But unless you get involved with a wide receiver that all of a sudden you're paying that much money to me, like, there's no reason not to bring Derrick Henry back next year.
Andrew says, I think the lack of banners and trophies with three absolutely amazing running backs proves this scheme doesn't work, Joe. I think zero Super Bowls with George, Johnson, and Henry is all the proof you could ask for. But, hey, we got a bunch of those rushing titles you care about. So the idea that this scheme is the same as the scheme from 20 years ago, I mean, that's not true. It's not at all true.
Now, you could say maybe the philosophy of running the ball is the same, but the scheme is not the same.
Yeah.
And I would argue that even the philosophy is not the same. I mean, it's a different game than it was when McNair and George are playing.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I think this gets magnified, especially in a year like this, because Again, amazing job by Derrick Henry. 1,500 yards with that offensive line. But just how many plays? How many plays were just, here you go, carry this into this mass of bodies and just, you know?
Yeah.
It makes you feel like you're watching old-timey football from 1993. I get it, but it's not the same. But that is also, that's why you have to be able to have balance and throw the ball. You have to be able to make people worry about you downfield. You have to be able to put those safeties back a couple yards, which is all things that A.J. Brown used to do for this offense. And the problem with this is that I just don't see any quick way to replicate what he did for you.
Liam on the text line says maybe we should try being great around Tannehill. I mean, that could be something that maybe they try to do. That has been mentioned before, and it did not happen a year ago. I go back to Amy Adams Strunk in this, right? I mean, really, doesn't a lot of this come down to what she wants to do? I mean, I know Vrabel's the football coach, and he's in charge. But when she put out the statement after John Robinson was fired, she talked about them getting to a Super Bowl level and trying to get back there. And we've debated back and forth, okay, what does that look like? Is that tearing it down and rebuilding, or is that going back? Like, who's to say the Titans don't look at it and say, yeah, we're bringing Tannehill and Henry back, and we're going to be aggressive, and we're going to go get a wide receiver, and we're going to go rebuild the offensive line, and we're going to have an offense that is really good next year. That may be the way that they're approaching this. I have no idea what their approach is going to be. I think back to a couple years ago when the defense was atrocious and everybody was calling for Shane Bowen's job. Vrabel didn't fire him and then actually gave him the defensive coordinator title. And you went and you got Bud Dupree and you got Danico Autry and you added to the defense. Maybe that's the same approach you take with the offense this year.
Yeah, you just hope you don't have a situation where you pay a whole bunch of money to somebody who does as little as Dupree has done.
Correct.
But still, they fixed it. They fixed it quickly. As far as Amy Adams Strunk, though, and this is universal for me with owners in pro sports, what she needs to want is for the people that she trusts and pays to do football things to make these decisions.
Right. I mean, but I'm saying, like, if she wants – what was she thinking when she fired John Robinson? Beyond the why did you fire him when you fired him, all that stuff.
Hashtag the plan.
But was
Green
she
Bay.
Thinking – when she made that move, all right, well, it's probably going to require a little bit of a step back here to get to where we ultimately want to go. Or was she thinking, let's go get a general manager and let's go fix this right now and win because I still think we're in a window. I don't know.
Was she thinking any of those things?
Other than
pure rage?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. I mean, I think clearly one thing she was thinking was, and it's true, of the Vray-Rob combo. The Vray has been doing a much better job than the Rob.
Yes.
So we're gonna swing more the Vray way, okay? But I don't. It's a great question.
We're gonna get back into a Wham conversation.
Andrew, thank you for your service. You did a great job of playing the Casio keyboard. Goodbye. George, let it rip, baby.
George,
here's the
let
microphone.
It fly. Just keep going.
I don't know. That's a great question. Was there a vision of, like, this? Because, again, to me, yeah, I was ultimately you hire and fire these people, but you better, if you're a sports owner, get out of the way and trust your people. And, I mean, I would say you should trust people you give a 5-year extension to, and then a few months later you fire them, but, hey, it's what's done is done. James says Saturn does have the most moons and calls me a Rode, R-O-D-E, scholar. Well done, James.
Very well done. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling in.
Robbie, so how many years I've been calling in and listening to your show, man? It's been a while.
Been a long time.
And I don't think I've ever come at you sideways. I'm going to change that today.
Okay.
Because I can't hear you say – I think you know what it is. I think it's because your Packers and the Titans are the same people now, and so you're just as bitter as we are. But just the way you approach these topics, I've been hearing it more and more. This Amy Adams question you just had just kind of struck me funny. What was she thinking? I think she was thinking the same thing we were all thinking, man. Like something's got to happen. Somebody's got to get fired up. I think it was like when LaViolette got fired from the Preds. I don't think anybody really thinks he deserved to be fired at the point, but somebody had to be fired. Well, J-Rob had to be fired, man. I know you guys, and this is like clear across the industry for you guys. Everybody's saying they should have waited till after the year, but like I was feeling so low on John Robinson the week she fired him. I got so excited. So it's probably just a stupid fan, you know, needing some change right then. But I was happy that she did it. I know y'all weren't, but I was happy that she did it.
Well, the Titans should have had you on the field that Sunday then. You were excited. They needed somebody to be excited.
I wasn't messed up with it, man, because I'm sitting here going, how bad can that dude be? Like, we have no depth. That's his whole job, is to build us depth, so when bad things happen, we're good. And we had nothing, man. Like, so the line was worse it's ever been before that I remember in 25 years. No receivers. Our whole receiving corps come down to one dude who isn't even a tenth of AJ, and we're saying this one dude is going to be a cheaper AJ. No, he's not. He's a rookie. You know, like, it's goofy to me, man. I was happy when he left.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean,
yeah.
Look, I think you and I feel differently on this. I said it the other day when you asked the question. Let's say John Robinson's still there, and they go on a 7-game losing streak, and it looks the same. Would you fire him? Yeah, I would have. I think you feel differently. I think Jared feels differently about that. But yeah, I would have. But
I would have thought hard about it. It would have been a worth a discussion right now.
The timing still matters to me though. Like,
oh yeah.
Let's say you don't fire him. When they did,
I'm glad Adam felt better that week. You know,
well, yeah, but
there's, like, one positive for firing in the middle.
But what's the difference? Like, you're interviewing GM candidates right now. Guess what you'd have been doing if you fired him Sunday morning after the Jacksonville game? Interviewing GM candidates right now.
They got a head start on waiting for the time to interview GM candidates.
Right. Yeah. That's the whole thing. The timing it didn't make sense.
That's why it doesn't happen.
You can make arguments all day long. The timing did not make sense.
All right, and Adam brought up LaViolette, but Coach in-season coach firings, those do happen all the time because that's the operation of the football team or the whatever sports team we're talking about.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Shot me out of the sky, you're my kryptonite.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 on the program. Joe, I turn things over to you.
You know, this has happened a little bit lately. I actually kind of like when it does. That stuff in the text line pisses me off so much that I have to at least, like, make it part of this. So,
okay.
First of all, Tom says, I got a couple here that I'd like to start with.
Okay.
So make this a little bit of a smorgasbord. Tom says, correlation does not equal causation. Robinson firing cannot logically explain a 7-game losing streak. Who the hell said it did, Tom?
Yeah.
Now, I will argue tooth and nail with anybody who thinks that the first one of that, or again, the first of all, two of those losses happened before the firing. Okay,
correct.
They were 7-5 when they fired him. I would argue tooth and nail that the loss of the Jaguars cannot be attributed some to that. Now, you can't convince me of that ever.
First loss to the Jaguars, yeah,
and that game, by the way, you just win that and you eliminate the Jaguars. So the rest of the losses, no, I'm not saying that that's all that. I mean, look. The losing streak has a lot to do with mistakes John Robinson made. We can agree on that.
Of course.
I mean, there's a reason he was fired. Again, I don't agree with it. I think I would keep him right now, I think. And I would say, fix this, and you're on a hot seat now. You fix this. John Robinson never drafted a franchise quarterback. He never had a chance to draft franchise quarterback because he came into a team that had just done it a year before he got here, and he turned that team quickly into a winner and sustain that winning, and there's a lot of good and bad about his tenure. But anyway, I also have the unnamed texter here. It says, it was the drinking on the plane that got him fired. Yes. And I said, are you trolling or serious? Please tell us your name so I can scream at you. He says, serious. DUI against NFL rules. Somebody had to go. Not to mention the potential lawsuit now against the Titans now that he's fired.
Well, now they're both gone.
That is true.
We're seriously still doing this?
Apparently so. I thought we were past the hashtag plane from Green Bay.
I apparently hashtag the plane from Green Bay will live on forever. Just to be very clear, again, just take the 30,000 foot view and tell me, go, or is it 20,000?
30,000 foot view with the plane. I see what you did there.
Ah,
nice.
Yeah. Nice. Is that, are you yet on a ring of Saturn? And tell me, go look around the league at the various transgressions that people who are having success have been able to overcome to continue to keep their jobs. But you're going to tell me that it was the drinking on the plane that got John Robinson fired.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for fueling the rant. Now, here's what I was going to do today. I'm going to read Lamar Jackson's tweets yesterday. Quote, thank you, everyone, for your support and concerns regarding my injuries. I want to give you all an update as I am in the recovery process. I've suffered a PCL grade 2 sprain on the borderline of a strain 3. There's still inflammation surrounding my knee. My knee remains unstable. I'm still in good spirits as I continue with treatments on the road to recovery. I wish I could be out there with my guys more than anything, but I can't give 100% of myself to my guys and fans. I'm still hopeful we still have a chance. So, Lamar Jackson, I give him credit. He ended up coming out with the absolute full-on medical update on his knee.
Yep.
Because, of course, what has been happening the last few days. Let me go look at Michelle Knezovic's Twitter account here.
Can we talk about how in the first sentence I said this is full speculation?
I can't find it. Huh. There we go. This is speculation, but capitalized. I view this situation as two things. Lamar is hurt, but also still wants that new contract. Could he be holding out? The Ravens did just give Roquan Smith a big contract. Now the highest paid LB in the NFL. Don't think he will be in Baltimore next season. So... I'm just picking on you because you're here.
Of course.
This was very popular around the league.
Oh, it was very popular.
Very popular. And it's too bad that Lamar had to do what he did. You know? It's too bad that Lamar had to do what he did. I'm glad he did, but this is a good example of we don't know, right? Yeah. Do you still think he was holding out after? Do you believe what he did, what he tweeted?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you believe what he tweeted?
Yeah.
Okay.
But do I still think there's a chance he might not be in Baltimore next year? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But I think, and again, you know, your tweet was innocuous. I'm just picking on you because you're here. But there has been a lot of, he's fine. He's fine. He's pissed at the Ravens for the contract.
No, I've seen people tweet that, but I mean, I feel like it definitely was, you know, teeing the boundaries of my tweet, but a lot of people are like, no, this is exactly what it is.
Yeah, and it's just, it's a weird situation, and I think he would have served himself well, or even maybe Harbaugh, because Harbaugh's a guy who actually talks about this stuff.
Yeah.
Earlier to talk about this. This is also a reason why the Vrabel way sometimes can hurt you, like Treylon Burks, for example. If you come right out at the beginning of the spring, just, got a little asthma thing and this is going on and here you go, then it's a totally different way of covering that situation as opposed to Rob Moore has to finally just say something like, oh, thanks, that's all it took. Vrabel just wouldn't say it. Look, it should come down to the person affected to make the decision. Right?
Sure.
But then Treylon Burks wasn't going to say anything. And it felt like Vrabel was saying, don't say anything.
Right.
Okay. So then let everybody go nuts, and here's another situation. Now, this is a much bigger scale situation, but it reminds me of that, right?
I will say, though, when I think what like kind of teed me off for it was, you know, like when Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, they're obviously getting fed the information from somewhere. When he reported that Roquan got the extension, at the bottom specifically said Roquan does not have an agent. He represents himself. And then there was an interview with the Ravens reporter, I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but it was an interview with Roquan basically saying like, yeah, you know, like I have a lot of respect for the owner, the GM, like they're very fair in me when I was representing myself and stuff like that. And I just feel like that also was just like an interesting part of it as well.
So
I don't know if that was being emphasized or people were asking him about that specifically because they're like, oh, well, Lamar doesn't have an agent. Like, was it hard to negotiate? How do they treat you? And things like that.
So, yeah. So the link being made, he just got this big contract. So does that like piss Lamar off further?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I'll say I'm interested to see how it plays out. I'm blown away that they've not figured something out to this point. Now, well, that's another thing. We've run out of time, but I wanted to fold this into Titans Lamar Jackson speculation.
I love that.
Well, you talk about wanting to throw the ball more. Yeah, heck of a running attack with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry back there. Yeah, I mean, he can sling it. There's no doubt. But
I must say, like, you know, Lamar Jackson at his peak, Derrick Henry at his peak,
it'd be fun
in the same offense. If you could figure out how to make that work,
be pretty fun
with a good receiver and a good offensive line and a good OC.
All of those things.
Yeah, but that could be pretty fun. But where the heck is he going to be next year? He's going to be there, right?
Well, I mean, they could still franchise him, right? If it gets down to it,
they can tag him. I don't know, but what will they? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, they may not.
The
want
thing
to,
is, that, yeah, it's like it's one of those things where it's like either this is going to work out, or do you just not like the whole Cousins thing in Washington? Just then move on then.
Or you trade him, right? I mean, they're not gonna. He's not gonna just walk. Like, you franchise him for no other reason than you have control over the asset and you could trade him at that time.
Yes.
So the idea that he's just going to walk away, it's not going to happen.
It'll be the end, though.
Right.
If they don't get the – so I don't think that – I don't think it's serious. I mean, every single fan base in the league that doesn't have a top-tier quarterback is going to talk about this, right?
Of course, yeah.
I don't think here. Is a legit thing, but –
it sure would be exciting.
It'd be fun.
It would be.
I would look forward to it. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on a long list of things for the Titans to accomplish as they head into the offseason. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.